Hello, thank you so much for joining in today on a Life Worth Living podcast with Dr. Foye, presented by Lifesavers Emergency Room. As you guys know, I'm the medical director, board certified ER doctor here at Lifesavers ER. And today we are talking to the esteemed Dr. Oluchi Emmanuel. She is an internal medicine physician who is taking a twist on how she provides medicine to the public. And we're so excited to have her on today. Dr. Oluchi, welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey, Dr. Foye, thank you. It's my pleasure to be here today, and I'm really excited to talk with you.
We'll just get right into it. I've seen you on social media and seen just the information that you provide. It's very relaxed. It doesn't seem scripted. It's very sort of one-on-one. I feel like you're talking to me when I watch your posts. Is that something you intentionally created for the public?
Sure is. I try and approach my social media as if I was talking to my girlfriend, like, hey, girl, hey, like that's the approach I love to take, because I think that in medicine, so much of it is so high level. And unless you've been exposed to it and you've read the books and you've gone to the lectures on this stuff, it can be really hard to comprehend. But when you break it down to where the majority of people can understand it, then I think it makes it much easier. And especially when it's coming from not someone using big words and all this stuff, but just a conversation. And that's really my goal in my social media and how I approach medicine in general.
Okay. And what led you to that? Did you have any experiences that made you say, hey, this could be better, I can do this better, I this is something I'd rather do? Or was there any experience that kind of prompted that?
Yeah. So even in residency, as I was going through, I just started getting this feeling in my head like, okay, I'm seeing the same patients over and over as an internist in clinic. And, you know, I'll tell the patient 1 week, hey, you need to cut back on this. You need to start exercising more. We have got to get your numbers down so that we don't have to start these medicines for, let's say, diabetes. Mm-hmm. And then when I see them for the follow-up a couple months later, everything has gotten worse. And I'm like, did we not just have this, this yeah. talk a while ago? And I just realized it wasn't very efficient the way that the current medicine system. It's a lot about treating illnesses rather than really equipping people on how to stay healthy. Because honestly, in the short 15-minute visit we have, I don't have enough time to go into exactly what you should be eating. So it's easy to throw out these blanket statements, eat better, go exercise, but what does that actually mean? So my goal was to kind of get away from that and find a way to really approach people in a way that they can understand it and they get it. And it's more on their own terms versus when I go to the doctor and have this short rushed conversation. I want to be able to explain to people, this is why you take medicine for your blood pressure, because this is what's going on in your blood. And this is why and what happens if you don't take it. Because all those things, we just don't have enough time in a traditional clinic setting to really explain to the patients.
How do you motivate people to do what you say?
It is hard. It's very challenging to change, especially when you've always done something the same way for years. So now it's your comfort zone. So when I ask you to do something, to make a change, it's stepping out of your comfort zone. It's not fun. It's a little bit rough. But I think how I inspire people is I just tell people, you know, life is better on the other side. You know, like we like to think a lot about short-term feelings. So if I eat this ice cream right now, it's going to make me feel good. But months from now, maybe a year from now, if I continue eating it regularly and I gain 20 pounds, I'm not going to be feeling so good about myself. And not only that, now I've increased my risk of high blood pressure, diabetes, heart disease, and all these other chronic illnesses. And I always tell people, I'm not one of those doctors that's like all or nothing. Like you can never have this ever again, you know, unless you have a very specific health issue that requires that. But in general, moderation really is key. And I think if people could live, or let's say taking eating, if you eat 80% of your diet is very good, that extra 20%, I mean, ball out, like do enjoy your food really. Right. And don't get those things that you like. But if you can really stick to that, make the majority of your eating habits in a way that's helping your body, then I think that really helps you in the long run. So that's how I try and break it down to people.
Can you tell us a little bit about Life to Years TV? When did you found that, and what led to it? And what is Life to Years TV?
Oh, definitely. So Life to Your CVs is one of my social media brands, and it came about, well, so when I got out of residency, since then I've been talking about, okay, we got to do something to help people really get into preventive health, preventing these diseases. Like once I realized that almost 80% of our chronic diseases are preventable, I was like, what are we doing here? Like we need to actually focus on this. So that's when I started getting on social media and doing these talks and all these videos and things like that. And it just came about where I was like, what I'm really teaching people is how to add life. And my brand became adding, teaching people how to add life to their years and years to their lives. Because I don't want people just to live longer, but I want them to actually enjoy those years. I don't want, your last few years of life and you have all these different diseases and you're carrying around 30 different medications. I don't want that for people. And what we're finding is that a lot of people are like, oh, well, I don't need to think about that. That's years from now. But when you see 20-year-olds being diagnosed with the same diseases that we were seeing 60-year-olds being diagnosed with, then it's like, no, this is a wake-up call. You have to start doing things now. So Life to Years TV is really just teaching people how to add life to their years by particularly watching what they eat. So eating life-giving foods. And these are foods, these are your fruits, your vegetables, your whole fruits, whole foods, things that come from the ground and that are not man-made or processed. And then also it's just holistic. So it also, we also talk about sleeping better, getting exercise, all the other things that really just make you live your best life so that you can be in your best health and really enjoy the people around you and the things around you. You don't want to have these chronic diseases that are tying you down or making you have to go to the hospital every other week. Nobody wants that life. So working on adding to your life, adding good things to your life so that you can enjoy life is what Life to Your CV is all about.
That's amazing. I do wonder, I've been to Europe before and I see like their portion sizes. And I mean, I always wonder how do you think we in medicine can influence the lawmakers to allow just some, I guess, some implementation or just some regulation in how food is even produced to us as citizens in this country?
That would be great, but I tell you, anytime money is involved, it is very, very difficult to get the laws to be changed, regulations to be changed. I mean, there are foods that are allowed here in the United States that are banned in other countries. I mean, that blows my mind because of what it does to your body, but because the higher ups, the lawmakers know the companies that back
Financial.
them. Exactly. They get the financial rewards from the companies that are backing these companies. It's probably never going to, or let me not say never, but it's very little chance that it's going to change. But I think if more physicians spoke out about it, if they were constantly hearing physicians saying, this is not right, this is affecting all my patients, we have to do something, then we can start hearing more from our lawmakers and hopefully get some change
I
there.
think about that, and I think about people like you who are dedicating your lives to spreading this information. How do you feel like your work is able to contribute to advancements in people understanding, I guess, medicine or their body more?
I think what I do, like we talked about earlier, it just really brings it down to the person-to-person level. It's not this, you have this long disease name that you don't even really know what it means. I mean, I was astonished the amount of people who have been diagnosed with things and don't understand what it is, and they don't understand also how what you eat basically affects everything that goes on in your body. So what I do, especially when I'm talking about life-giving foods, is I'm really breaking it down to where people can see that everything you're eating is programming your body for either health or disease. And I mean, it's that simple. When I say that out loud, I even feel guilty because I'm like, I did have that Twizzler the other day, or whatever food it is, but
We all
it's
do.
true. It
That's
is,
true.
it really is true that everything we're eating is programming our body one way or the other. So what I do on my social media and when I'm in communities and when I do talks and coaching and all that stuff is really just helping people understand that you have to have more of the good stuff. Just really increasing the good stuff. I don't even tell people, like throw out all your soda and all this stuff, because I think if you get enough of the good stuff, you'll start to realize this other stuff isn't that great, and you'll kind of lose your taste for it if you're really saturating yourself with more of the good things that are actually good for your body. So my work and my goal is really just to make it simple, make it easy to understand, make it just palatable, like people can really digest it, and it's not this big thing that they don't really understand.
How do you feel like there are some challenges to being able to, I guess, challenge these misconceptions about healthy eating habits? And then my other question is that, do you see unhealthy eating habits in certain populations more than others?
Of course, of course. So I think one of the big challenges is that there's so much talk out there. So many people on TikTok, like, oh, I'm on the this diet or that diet. And some of this stuff is just ridiculous. Like, there's no way that this can be healthy for you or good for really anything. You know, like someone, I saw someone about a carnivore diet
Girl, yeah, let's talk about the carnivore diet.
where all they eat is meat. I'm like, there's no way. No way this is helping you. Like, you haven't seen a vegetable in years and you're telling me that you're healthy? No, I don't even believe it. So when you see like stuff like that, and but then so there you have like the TikTokers who are kind of some of the amateurs just kind of saying things. But then when you have like legit sources where one source is saying you need to eat meat a couple times a week, another source is like, absolutely no, any meat is really bad for you and increases your risk of this. So it can be very confusing. So that's one of the, I think that's one of the hardest things about it. And that's actually why I, for a while, shied away about talking about food, because I'm like, you look at legit sources and they're going against each other. You have the vegans, you have the paleo, you have all these people and they're really fighting, say, no, this is the best. But what I realized in front of, you know, when I really sat down and thought about it was that I need to help people just do the basics. Like, we're not even getting into what amino acids you need. Let's start with 5 fruits and vegetables a day and start from there, because most people are not doing that. So I really try and help people start building from there. We can talk, if you want to talk about why not to eat meat, we can talk about that later, but let's get the basics first. And your second question about populations, absolutely. What we find is that in especially low income populations, the food quality that they're eating tends to be a lot less. And a lot of that has to do with, this is also a misconception that eating better can be very expensive. And it can. Like, if you go to an all organic store or like a Whole Foods or something like that, yeah, you're gonna spend a lot of money. But if you go to your local grocery store and you get the vegetables that are on sale and you catch whatever's in season, you can also eat fresh fruits and vegetables, but at a much better price. And so that's what I try and explain and teach people how to do, because it doesn't have to be expensive. And I can't even fault the communities that, you know, the lower income communities who eat a lot of these foods, because they're also targeted. That's where you'll see 3 or 4 different fast food restaurants right there. And then maybe no grocery store or no fresh food store anywhere close. And I think that's unfortunate.
Can you share some examples of some innovative solutions or approaches that you've witnessed or implemented to address the challenges that you see every day?
Absolutely. So one of the things that I've been doing these last couple of years is a couple of times throughout the year, I'll do challenges. And I find that that really motivates people.
Motivates
So
people. Okay.
yeah, so getting a group of people together and saying, okay, so for this week, we are going to do, like we did the Drop the Weight God's Way challenge. And people really liked it because I was able to pull my spiritual beliefs as well as medical information and really teach people how to lose weight following biblical principles. So it was very successful. People enjoyed it. People felt like they had the tools they needed to continue losing. And it was really good. So I find that challenges and really anything that brings people together to where there's accountability makes a difference. So I am planning something for the beginning of the year where I'm going to have a small group, and the whole thing is accountability. It's easier to do things when you know that somebody's going to be like, hey, did you eat your whatever today? Or are you still staying on course? It just, as humans, we need that accountability. And if you're looking to just yourself to motivate you to do the things that you're supposed to do, it's probably not going to happen, because willpower for most of us runs out pretty quickly. You get a couple of temptations and it's just like, I can't do it anymore.
Exactly. I'm like,
Yes, but I find those are, they're very, very effective.
Okay, awesome. How do you believe your work positively impacts society or individuals?
That's a good question. I think my work really impacts people because it's just not what they're expecting. You know, when they go to the doctor, they're expecting to hear one thing, but they're not really expecting their doctor to be on Instagram, maybe doing a dance or doing something that's also like focusing on something that they need to hear. And sometimes I would say some of my most impactful moments have been either running into somebody just randomly at an event and they're like, oh, I watch your videos. Or I had one young lady come up to me and she said, you know, thank you so much for posting about high blood pressure, because it reminded me that I need to get my blood pressure checked. And when I checked, it was really high. And like things like that really touched me, because, you know, I may have helped her prevent her having a stroke. And we can't take those things lightly. Like some, you know, someone having a stroke could completely very much impact their life. If me getting on and doing a video or something that really just reminded you and helped kind of spur that on, then I'm absolutely grateful. And it makes me just really thankful to God that I have the opportunity to share this message.
Looking back at your career and journey so far, would you say there's some key moments that led to, or decisions that would have led to you getting to where you are now?
Yeah, I would say when I was in residency and I just started seeing my patients coming back with the same stuff, that really just kind of made me disgruntled and like frustrated with the current system. And that's when I was just like, I have to do something different, because seeing my patients come in worse, even though we sit down, we have these long conversations, tells me that that's probably not the best way for them to learn or for them to be motivated. So I would say that, and then really just, I guess, getting a chance to see the other side, the entrepreneur side, and really learning that, hey, doctors can do so many things. Like, we don't have to actually stay in the bubble of the clinics and the hospitals. So thinking about those two things is what has kind of led me to where I am now, where I'm able to still work, but actually do what I consider my life work, which I really do think is really motivating people to stay healthy. And I feel like that's something that God has put inside of me and kind of my purpose in life. So I love that I'm able to merge that with my career and my passion and just use that to create things. So I'm able to, you know, create the courses and create the challenges and things like that, that are still helping people and really getting to the ultimate goal of keeping people healthier and helping them add to their life.
So just so you have the social media and the Years to Life TV, but you also coach people one-on-one or in groups, correct?
Yes. So I do group coaching kind of throughout the year, sporadically throughout the year.
Okay. And so how do people find you? Do they find you through the social media or just work that you do in the community?
Yes, exactly. So social media, I'm Dr. Lucci, MD on all social media, but also you can go to my website at drlucciMD.com and they can reach out to me there.
So right now you're not practicing like medicine, like writing scripts and things like that, working in a clinic. Is that right?
Correct. So I have my job, which I work as a consultant for a company that helps veterans get their disability insurance or get their disability payments. So okay. I do that consulting. And then also I'm building this wellness company.
Oh, I see. What would you say to your younger self? Like, you know, maybe 10 years ago, 10 years ago, that would have been residency, right?
Oh, yeah.
I know. It goes by fast, right?
It sure does.
So what would you say to your younger self? I think a lot of us, we assume you're going to graduate. I'm going to do this thing in residency and I'm probably going to just do the same thing for the rest until I retire, right? So
yeah.
What would you say if you could see yourself back then, you know, see the future now, what would you tell your younger self now about what your future would look like?
Yeah, I would have told my younger self 10 years ago, I would have said, stay the course. You know, like I remember that point in residency, I actually had, I guess 10 years ago, I was probably pregnant, expecting my firstborn, because she was born in January. So yeah, and she's about to be 10. But anyway, and I was tired and I was actually just over it. I was just like, I don't know if I can do this anymore. I think actually around this time I was on an ICU rotation, and so it was probably the hardest month of my whole residency time, because I was, you know, close to the end of pregnancy and I was a senior that was on in the ICU. So I meant like we were in the, you know, doing call every 3 days and wasn't sleeping. I remember one day I went like 16 hours without even using the restroom. I mean, it was just bad. Like it was, looking back, I'm like, this was such a bad thing to do, but thank God everything was okay. But I remember I was just like is this what life is? Like, this is what I'm going to be doing. And I just felt like I didn't have my place in medicine. I didn't like being in the clinic because I felt like that wasn't really as effective as I wanted to be. Hospital life stressed me out. So I was just like, what am I going to do with my life? So I would tell my younger self to just keep the course that, and actually to really just, I should have just started praying right then and there and like asking God to show me what he wanted me to do and how he wanted to use the things that he had given me, this career and this these opportunities and all of that. And just that life gets better. Like now on the other side of it, with now 3 kids and a career, husband, family, like, and just being able to do what I'm passionate about makes it all worth it. So even though that month was crazy, it's good to see on the other side of things that life is so much better, especially when you're walking in your purpose.
That's definitely true. Thank you so much. So I have more questions. So it sounds like to me that you're making more, not that there's nothing wrong with seeing, 30 patients a day in clinic and trying to convince each of them to do what you're asking them to do. But with what you're doing, you have a platform online, you have a platform with the group coaching. And I can see, obviously, like, you're probably gonna be on TV one day. And I'd be like, I know her, actually,
Amen.
planning, like you want to impact like the world at large, it sounds like.
Absolutely. You're right. There's nothing wrong with seeing patients in clinic, but I do feel like what I do now, I have such a much wider platform and I can reach more people. And even if, if I spread my message and even if just a small percentage of the people who are out there who see it get something from it, I would still be more effective than going to the clinic and seeing just 30 people or just 20 people or all of that. So I love that. I love that social media and just media in general has opened that up. And I do see myself on stages speaking to so many people and really just motivating people and inspiring them to do the things that they need to do to keep their bodies healthy. Because I think it's a message that everybody needs to hear.
What I think we need more physician politicians.
Ooh, yeah, I agree with that. But I don't know if I wouldn't be want to be a politician.
I
But
know,
we
but it
do.
seems like that's where some of this necessary impact is like. Like if laws just, popped up, then, like you can't put more than X amount of salt in a food, or you can't put more than this amount of sugar. Like if there were just some caps, I think that would put a little dent in some of our, the kind of the amount of burden that physicians are having to kind of take on,
Oh, I definitely agree. I think that would help a lot. I know people have
I would
talked
vote
about,
for you,
like,
actually. I would vote for you. Don't you?
No, I do not want to get into
<That's
politics at all, at all. Because the thing is, it seems like even the people who go in with good intent, like, it's just so much opposition. And it always comes down to the numbers, the money. Like, I was watching this documentary on Netflix and it was called What the Health? I don't know if you saw it, but
Yeah, I've
anyway.
heard of it. Yeah, I didn't see it, but I've heard of it.
Very interesting. Everybody should watch it. But one of the things that they were talking about was they were talking about how, like, even the politics of medicine. So things like the American Heart Association, how that they're recommending on their website foods that can cause heart disease. Like, it was so much. So when they like tried to call them out on it, they didn't want to respond. And then it turns out that whatever those foods were actually supporting the American Heart Association. I mean, it was so much. Yeah. And it's like every time they trace it back to the money. Like, oh, they donated to this organization. So of course this organization has to talk about, beef or whatever other foods that could also possibly cause heart disease, but we're just gonna forget about that part. So anyway, so I wouldn't want to waste my energy trying to fight all of that. I'd rather just try and connect with people and tell them you need to do what's best for your body. And let's start there.
Would you say, are there books that you think that people you would refer people to if you are there websites that they should refer to if they have questions about foods or
Oh, yes. So I love this. There's a website called nutritionfacts.org. So good. The guy really breaks down. He talks about all kind of food and everything. So much helpful information. They're all really short videos, and he's funny too. So it's very entertaining, but he really makes things make sense. So I love that. And then there's a book called The Obesity Code, because as we know, obesity is one of the major things that is going on in our society now. In fact, almost 70% of the United States citizens are either have obesity or they have overweight. So it's a huge population and a big issue that we're dealing with. So The Obesity Code is a book that I really like because it talks about how we can change that. And it has a lot to do with our metabolism, and that's also always going back to what we're eating. So how we can make changes in that. But that was a really good book. And I think he does some videos and stuff as well. So that would also be
Are
helpful.
these people, are they physicians, nutritionists, do you know?
Yeah, they're both physicians.
Okay. Awesome. So everybody, y'all heard that. There's information out there. Obviously follow Dr. Emmanuel in that, but also read. I think sometimes we want to be spoon-fed information and never know what information you're getting. So it's good to go to the source as well, and just educate ourselves. I do want to touch on, and I feel like, with a lot of our guests, we've talked about it, but so a lot of people are on these weight loss medications and they're losing weight. Do you help people with that as far as like Ozempic, the different weight loss adjuvants we have out here now?
Yeah, so I am actually obesity medicine trained or certified, board certified. Currently, I'm not prescribing those because I'm not working in that capacity right now, but considering it for the future. But you want to know my thoughts on it, on
I
those?
do. I do. I have thoughts about it, and I think, we should all have some thoughts about it. I am concerned that people aren't learning how to eat.
That
They're just
part.
starving, essentially, and so what's the plan when you get off of it? Like, how do you wean? When you wean off of it, you're just gonna. That's my concern when I see people lose weight, and I'm just like, okay, so, well, if the only meal you had today was McDonald's, so once you're not hungry anymore, you're gonna, we'll go back to eating McDonald's, but more. Right.
You're exactly right. And I think that's one of my biggest issues with it as well. But I will say I'm still in support of them because they wouldn't work unless they were treating a problem. So they're actually fixing the underlying metabolic disorder that people have that they've gotten from eating poorly, but they still have it. It's still there. So it's fixing that. And that's why it works for these people. However, I think it's being abused because we see people who should not be on a medication at all using these, like some of the celebrities and all of that. But that's a whole different thing. But I will say also, even the people who do need it, who are losing weight, like you said, we are not doing enough to teach them how to actually live well. So it's one thing to be skinny, but what do your arteries look like? I mean, like you said, if you're still eating McDonald's every day, you're collecting plaque in your arteries, and that's not going to be good in the long run. So I think that we need to do more. And that's why I don't really like these kind of pop-up shops where people are just, I'm just a Ozempic clinic or Wegovy clinic. Like, just come get that. And they don't do any nutrition training or even encouraging people to exercise. They don't do anything else. And I
But
think
I
that we're
gotta
doing a
tell you,
disservice.
the issue, part of it is that people don't care. They don't want, I
I
did,
know.
med spa, and I would, I had, we didn't, Ozempic wasn't prevalent then, but there, the meds that we did have, it all came with nutrition counseling. But they,
Didn't want
most
that.
patients didn't care about any of my spiel. I was like, you should do this, and this is the diet, and this. They're like, did you call my prescription in? Okay, well, and they're losing weight, which is
I
good, and
know.
reducing their, metabolic profile. Their blood pressure is going down, so it's not, we're not knocking it, but I'm just wondering what the plan is after, or do you take it long term? Is it just
That's
become
the thing.
just the medicine that you take to keep your weight down, just like your blood pressure medicine? And is it better to just be on your Ozempic as opposed to be on insulin, three blood
Right.
pressure meds, cholesterol meds, so now we're only on one, so it's, yeah,
It's a toss up,
it's gonna
definitely. And
work
you're
through it.
right. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just saying, you're right. Most people don't care, unfortunately, because our society is so much focused on the outside. But I wish somebody would create something that, not like a MRI machine or something that's really expensive, but something that like you can just hold up and be like, this is what your insides look like. Like you actually should be concerned, because my fear is that 20 years from now, because like you said before, what's the plan? There's no plan. People have to be on these for the rest of their life. Like that's it for most people. So 20 years from now, if you haven't still been taking care of your insides, like what does that mean? Are we still going to see the same rates of heart attacks and other cardiovascular diseases because they fix one part, but they're not doing anything else? They're still not eating the right things your body needs. Like there's still so many other issues. So I don't think it's I think it's a good part of the puzzle, but it's not the whole thing.
Right. Yeah. No, it's great. I've seen people drop 100 pounds.
Yeah.
And really transform their life, their self-confidence. And those are the great parts of it. But also, you know, it's definitely something we all think about as physicians, where you're not quite sure what, you know, where to draw the line. I was like physicians, what should we be doing more of for our patients? I know you were in it. You're in the clinic. You're talking to the patients and you were like, I'm out. This is, y'all aren't listening. I'm just going to go get a boombox on the air. People like us that are still stuck here. What should we be doing?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I didn't say I was out. I did say, let me find a different angle. I prefer to look at it that way.
Yeah.
but I do think that we need to do more nutrition counseling. And it's really sad. We didn't get much. I don't know about your med school, but my med school, I think we got like one lecture out of the whole all 4 years on nutrition. So we need to educate our doctors, first of all, and our nurse practitioners and all the other medical professionals. And then we need to actually have time to explain things. Like I would never be able to wrap my mind around a 15 minute or 30 minute visit. What, like by the time they list off their problems, it's time to go. I mean, all you have time to do is I'll put those in the computer, the scripts in, and like, see you next time. So we need to find a way to have more time, more one-on-one time with whoever's taking care of you, with your physician, and then really getting that nutrition part in, actually showing people, making it clear, like get out a piece of paper and like write down, this is what you should be eating for breakfast or lunch, like come up with a short little plan or something that they can actually take with them. But just the idea of eat better, exercise is not doing anything, and it never has and it never will. So obviously we need to make a change there. But even in the ER, I get that you guys really don't have time, but I would say even just throwing in a couple lines like, you know, try and add some vegetables to your diet every once in a while.
It's you're in a hard spot in the ER, but even in clinic, you know, you have someone who's, and then you know, in clinic, you could have a patient who came in for a physical, and then you do their EKG and they're having some, you know, abnormal rhythm on there too, you know, or they're having, you know, a sinus arrhythmia, or you're like, is this AFib, you know, atrial fibrillation. So nothing goes according to plan. It's not it's planned visit, but what happens when you walk in that room is not always what was on the clipboard.
You never know.
Mm-hmm. You know? So definitely I feel for us as physicians, because I know that we see the big picture. We know that this blood pressure in 5 years, if it's not addressed, is a stroke patient, or this cholesterol is a heart attack patient. Like you can kind of, or a stroke, you know, you can kind of see the trajectory of what these values mean. And it's trying to relay that and then relaying it the next visit. And then me in the ER, and then I see the end of it where I'm like, oh, and here's the stroke. And you can see the difference of, you know, it's like, well, they were going to clinic. They are on the medicines, but they are still. You know, so it's definitely been, I'm sure it's a challenge for most providers trying to offer the care, but knowing that you're kind of going uphill.
Exactly. But I think we just have to keep trying. Like that's really all we can do. Even if it's just a line or two before they're on their way out, like, please try and do this, or please come back on this. Because one thing I have noticed is that even just the smallest changes over time, like if every day you have one less soda, at the end of the year, that's 365 sodas that you did not drink just by skipping that one less soda. So I think even the small things over time, keep doing them, it really makes a difference.
Awesome. Well, thank you. Are there any things you'd want to share that we should make sure we touch on before we wrap up?
Sure. I'm actually writing a book. I don't know if
Oh.
I've mentioned it to you, but yes, I am. It should be launching in January by God's
Okay.
grace, but it's called Eating from the Hand of God. So it's actually just talking about eating fresh fruits and vegetables and things that grow from the ground that are the foods that God created, which are the best for our bodies that He created. So it's once again tying in my faith, my spirituality, and then my medical knowledge, and really just showing how the two merge together and helping people see that really this is the best kind of diet for us. And once again, not saying that it's all or nothing, but saying that we need more foods from God's hand versus man's hand. So everybody should look out for that. I would love if you all picked up a copy and inspire yourself and your loved ones.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. And I think thank you for like following that call. There are definitely a lot of people who just hang in there and then they eventually just like, they just stop, because they're not fulfilled in what they're doing. And that's amazing that you saw that, hey, I could be, this is not where I have the most impact. Like this is not where I'm supposed to be, maybe, And so I think that's really
Right.
brave of you that you stepped out. And just for any doctors or providers or anybody, even if you're not in healthcare, you're watching the episode, just knowing that you can take a different path like I did. And it's really cool to see other people doing the same thing and really walking in what their purpose is supposed to be. We're not all supposed to be like, that's why we look different. That's why we act different, talk different, smile different. Like we're meant to be different and stand out in our own way. And I applaud you for like going for it. And I will
Thank
read the book.
you.
I'll be on the first or second row cheering you on.
Yes. Thank you. And I just want to say, you have been an inspiration to me, just seeing you step out of the norm and do your own thing. And yeah, I just love watching your journey, and I'm still watching and really proud of you.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. So you guys, we said Dr. Lucci can be reached. Her website is.
Yes, it's www.drlucciMD.com.
Okay, and
And
then
I'm
the social
Dr.
media.
Lucci MD on all social media as well.
GMD on all social media platforms. Thank you so much for joining today. We look forward to hearing from you. More great things from you soon.
Thank you, and thank you for having me. Bye.
Bye. Awesome. Yay!
Yeah. Tired of waiting at the ER? Lifesavers 24-hour emergency room is your number one ER for pediatric and adult medical care. Staffed by board-certified physicians with absolutely no wait time. Lifesavers 24-hour emergency room is equipped to handle life-threatening conditions quickly. Your emergency or concern is our priority, and we are here when you need us. From allergic reactions to concussions, migraines, slips and falls, car accidents, heat stroke, broken bones and sprains, sinus and ear pain, asthma attacks, and more. We have state-of-the-art equipment and technology with an on-site CT scanner and X-ray machines, as well as a full-service lab for immediate results and 24-hour pharmacy services. Our dedicated Kids Corner keeps your little ones occupied while you are attended to. The pediatric room is specifically tailored to soothe your child and ease the stress of their medical condition. Worried about COVID-19? Lifesavers ER is Houston's go-to destination for rapid COVID-19 testing, treatment, and care. Our board-certified ER physicians and ER nurses will quickly get you the urgent care you need. Lifesavers 24-hour emergency room is your ER for immediate care. Now with three convenient Houston locations, open 24/7 to get you feeling better fast. Our Willowbrook area location is located at the intersection of Highway 249 and 1960. Our Heights area location is in the Garden Oaks Shopping Center at 3820 North Shepherd Drive. Our Summerwood area location is located off the Sam Houston Tollway at Westlake Houston Parkway.